Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. And we're very pleased to be joined by Professor James Holmes, holder of the Wiley Chair of Maritime Strategy at the Naval War College. He blogs at the Naval Diplomat to comment on a story that has global significance. This is Wall Street Journal headline, China seeks first military base on Africa's Atlantic coast. Subhead, alarmed officials at the White House and Pentagon urge Equatorial Guinea to rebuff Beijing's overtures. Jim, a very good evening to you. The U.S. Navy operates on all seas. That is an advantage always in contest with our adversaries. Is it significant for the Navy's mission now that China is looking to extend its string of pearls from the Indo-Pacific into the South Atlantic? Good evening to you, Jim.
Hey, John. Hi, Gordon. Yeah, I mean, I think it's significant. I actually think, I mean, I obviously have no sympathy for the purposes behind China's foreign policy and military and naval strategy, but it's actually kind of a neat move. I mean, if you think about what they were doing in 2008, they actually justified their first foreign naval deployment and ultimately their first foreign military base outside of China by counter-piracy in the waters off Somalia. And of course, they now have a base at Djibouti. And I mean, we have seen a surge in piracy in the Gulf of Guinea as well. So in a sense, they can invoke that. That's a very similar logic to justify having a naval presence there. So that's sort of point one. As far as how significant it is, it kind of makes sense. If China wants to be a global sea power and a global trading power, as it does, it only makes sense to have the capability to station naval ships in the waters where it wants to do trade. So in that sense, it makes perfect sense. So how significant is for the United States? Well, I mean, they're in our own backyard. Insofar as we are the guarantor of the security in the Atlantic world, that makes sense. It also provides an important side event or side benefit, rather, simply because if China can get us to keep forces home, that's less than we have to deploy in China's backyard. So in a sense, it's paybacks.
Gordon, you have a question for the professor.
Jim, we're talking about Equatorial Guinea, but there's also been talk of China trying to develop a base in Walvis Bay in Namibia. And we know that China's been poking around the Azores, where the Air Force has a base, but which has made it basically a deserted facility. Do you see China moving beyond just one base? And if so, how fast do you think they can do that?
You know, one thing about China is it's been very patient about things like this. There doesn't seem to be the sort of rush that there was, for example, when Imperial Germany was rising up to great power and was in a total rush to obtain its own empire vis-a-vis Great Britain and the other European empires. I would expect them to do what they've done with Djibouti. I would expect them to, if they get a base in the South Atlantic or elsewhere in the Atlantic world, I would think they would pause and take time to develop that. Give everybody the chance to get used to it, so that it's part of a new normal and doesn't cause undue alarm. And then at that point, if they see the need for something else, you mentioned Namibia, you mentioned the Azores Islands, then we might see an additional expansion at some point as well. But yeah, I think that this is, and it's one of the impressive things about China as a maritime competitor, is just that it has a good sense of pace about departing from old practices that everybody is used to.
Jim, I know that there has long been a concern about, I think it's called the Iceland-UK gap, Iceland-Greenland-UK gap, where Russia can surge out, especially with its submarine fleet, from its northern bases, a concern that is constant for the U.S. Navy. You have to deploy in order to prevent or secure that zone, access to the U.S. Is there a comparable gap in the South Atlantic? Or I'm looking at a map. It looks to me wide open. You can approach it from the Pacific or the Indian Ocean. But is there a narrow place there where the Navy could secure the Atlantic from China's aggression?
Yeah, not really. I mean, even the GIUK gap that you mentioned, which is where we deployed underwater sonar arrays and so forth, and to try to form a barrier to keep the Soviet Navy, out of the Atlantic in the event of European war, because we were going to be rushing stuff aboard ship across the Central Atlantic, Europe. Really, no, there's really not such a geographic choke point in the South Atlantic. I think the geographic point is there's not really a similar counter strategy available to us. But I think the interesting point is how did the South Atlantic powers relate to this? How does, for example, Brazil, which sees a zone of primacy in the South Atlantic, but yet has not made itself into a serious naval power because things have been really relatively uneventful for a long period of time. Does this galvanize the Brazilian Navy to make itself into a more serious military power as a counterweight to a Chinese presence in the South Atlantic, in its backyard? Brazil looks east towards Africa. If China's there, that becomes part of the strategic calculus.
Gordon?
Jim, how does China resupply a base in Equatorial Guinea?
Yeah, that's a good point. This is one reason you're not going to hear a lot of panic from me out of this. Yes, I think it is something we have to take into account and perhaps respond to. But at the same time, and in fact, John mentioned the term "string of pearls," which is a term that's been applied to the Chinese pursuit of potential bases and actual bases in the Indian Ocean. Some years ago, an Indian minister, not the prime minister, but I think it was the foreign minister, joked that in the game Clue, the string of pearls is actually an easily cut thing, i.e., if it's in India's backyard, it can cut the string of pearls. I think the same logic would hold true for the United States being able to neutralize such a facility in Equatorial Guinea in wartime. So, again, I wouldn't panic over this. It's one more thing happening in the U.S.-China competition, but yeah, I don't think that this is not going to be an equivalent to Yokosuka, our major base in Japan, or something like that.
Well, let's identify how far this can go, Jim. You see China seeking to operate in the Caribbean. There are islands in the Caribbean that have large Chinese embassies and are friendly to Chinese entreaties. Is that something that the U.S. would, at this point, have an answer to, a Caribbean base to match the Equatorial Guinea base?
Yeah, I mean, that would actually concern me more. I mean, we know that Russia and China have cozied up to Venezuela. I mean, there's sort of an obvious site for such a base. That would be a stride the approaches to the Panama Canal, which would obviously be a serious thing. Yeah, this would be something. In fact, Gordon was asking about the sequencing. That would be the next big thing. That would be what I would have my eyes on, is if there can actually be a Chinese base in the Caribbean. Soviet Union tried it back in the 60s with Cuba. Perhaps China could try something similar today. And at that point, I think that we have a very light naval presence in the Caribbean Sea, and therefore I think we'd have to think about stationing ships in New Orleans or somewhere like that as a counterweight, or South Texas or whatever the case may be.
Gordon?
Jim, you got a new government in Peru that might be friendly to China. Also, China's building a very large container port in Bahamas. That's less than 100 miles from Palm Beach. We know that these container facilities can sometimes be used for naval purposes. You got Hambantota in Sri Lanka. The Chinese took it over in 2017. They've been using Sri Lanka as a place to port, not to port, but to bring their nuke subs in for visits. It just seems to me that we're going to have the Chinese very, very close to the United States, as John has suggested, not only in our hemisphere, but maybe within 100 miles of the American homeland.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about what naval and military forces do, we give political leaders options. And I think that's what China's been doing in the Indian Ocean for the last 15 years or thereabouts. I mean, it's basically through the Belt and Road Initiative, giving these places where it's built port facilities, it's giving them a stake in China's future as China sees it, and thus giving itself leverage. China, Beijing gets leverage that it might then ultimately translate into basing rights for warships and so forth. So, I mean, Hambantota, you mentioned Gwadar and Western Pakistan, and potentially Atlantic bases as well. If these countries come to depend on China for their livelihood, for their economic development, that provides a lot of leverage for China that it could parlay into naval access.
Final matter, 30 seconds, Jim. When you build a naval base, do you militarize it? Do you turn it into a fortress? Is that normal?
You know, there's a variety of naval bases out there. We actually in the United States Navy have not fortified our bases the way that we might, and that's something that China has played on in East Asia. Our bases, I mean, you need to harden your bases against ballistic missile attack, for example. That's something we haven't done a lot of. Whether China will actually depart from that practice and do things differently, I think remains to be seen.
Jim Holmes of the Naval War College, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.